I love hearing the chatter. I love seeing y'all come in the door. I love everything about it. Aaron is going to play for us this morning, so those of you who are able, please stand. You will recognize this song, I think. I told her we could sing it a cappella, but it would be a whole lot better if she helped us out. Okay. Thank you, ladies. You can have a seat. I want to welcome you. I want to welcome you home. For those of you who've studied with us before, I hope this does feel like home. For those of you who are new this week, I hope it becomes like home to you very, very quickly. We've got a lot going on this morning, and I will just tell you, it's a lot of data download, which is frankly a little boring. And so we're trying to make it a little easier on y'all by having some audience participation. Just go with the flow. But if at any point you want to get up and get some coffee, go to the bathroom, stretch, do your yoga exercises on the back wall, whatever you want to do, feel free to do that, because just think of yourself as being in your own living room this morning. I want to do some few announcements. First of all, I want you to meet the brains of our team, Kristen and Shannon. Where are you? Shannon, stand up. Kristen, y'all wave. They're in the back. Those two right there. If you need anything, those are the women who know. Okay? I am the last to know anything. So go to them first. If they can't help you, we can find somebody else who can. But those are the two. I want to introduce to you also the teaching team this year. Some will be familiar. One will be not familiar to you. She's new this year. Lynn Adams, where are you, Lynn? Stand up. Julianne Hartman, where are you? Yay. Beth Smith. Beth Smith, where are you, Beth? Oh, she's outside doing her Beth Smith kind of welcoming thing. There she is. Wave your hand. I'm introducing the teaching team. Oh, she left again. Never mind. Laura Tuma and myself. And you're going to see three of these a little bit later this morning. Some of you are asking yourselves, how come we're not in a small group today? I'm asking myself that, the same question as we speak. But we actually decided to do this a little differently because it helps our registration. When we have small groups put together and you come in on Wednesday morning bringing three friends with you, which we love you to do and we want you to do and we want you to continue doing, we want to have room for those three friends. So if we've already set the small groups, we don't have any wiggle room on Wednesday morning. So we thought we would try this registration a little bit differently. And as it has turned out, it's been great because we had 41 people on Sunday. So it's really helping us. Y'all bear with us because this has been a real help to us. We can capture most everybody today. Next week, you will be in your small group. You will do lesson one. Your small group leaders should have those small groups by tomorrow night, Thursday night, and we'll get in touch with you before next week. In the meantime, go to the website, www.lamplightersbiblestudy.com. In the menu up in top, there's something called resources. Click on that. A drop-down menu comes, and it's Genesis Downloads. And you can download each lesson as you need it or all of them at the same time. If you want to, spend that time doing that, whatever. We didn't do a print run this year because we were trying to save money for everybody. So you can print it for yourself. If you do not have a computer, see Kristen because she's got about 10 copies. No, Shannon has 10. One of the brains has 10 copies for you. So that's that. Okay. The other thing that you need to know about for next week is we have heard your cry. You know, like God hearing the Israelites when they were in Egypt. We have heard your cry for more time in small groups. So what we're going to do is save you 10 or 15 minutes transport time by having the lecture first. Some of you, this will be familiar because we used to do it that way. We changed it for good reasons. Now we're changing it back for good reasons. So next week at 9:30, we will have the lecture. That means you're going to have more time in your small groups and a little more flex time, except for young moms, 11:30, pick up your child. That's it. Let me see. Why don't we pray before we go on? Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of today, for the gift of these women, for the gift of your study, for the Bible that is your story, and thank you for weaving us into your story, for writing stories in our life that reveal you. Father, I pray for us this year that we will be open to the movement of the Holy Spirit in our lives, that we will know you better, that we will grow in our ability to walk with you, that we will shine your light to a dark world even brighter as a result of what we do in this building on Wednesday mornings. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Let me see. Oops. Okay. This is kind of the overview of where we're going today. Welcome. We're going to do an inductive review because we haven't done that really in a while, and we've got some new folks with us this year. Then we're going to do a section on connection. I will explain what that is when we get to that. And then finally, an overview of Genesis. So now we're starting the introduction. Okay. My grandmother was a fabulous bridge player. Now, some of you who play bridge are out there counting points up and figuring out how you're going to bid this hand. Okay? Yeah, I know who you are. She was a master. She had her master's points. And unlike most fabulous bridge players, she really enjoyed playing with beginners. She wanted you to love the game as much as she did. And so when you played with my grandmother and you opened your mouth, you were going to get the bid. Because her theory was the way you learn is to play. And the way you really learn is to play and do horribly. So she didn't care what you said, you were going to get to play it. That happened to me all the time. I'd get the bid, she'd be the dummy, she'd go out to the kitchen to fill her iced tea glass, she would come back, I will have gone down 4. And her comment always was, Jan, let's review the bidding. And then she would say something like, you should have finessed with the queen when you played the king in the third hand. How does she know that? She was in the kitchen. It was kind of like my first brush with how the Holy Spirit works sometimes. I didn't continue playing with her long enough to really become even a decent bridge player, but I certainly learned the value of reviewing the bidding. And that's what we're going to do this year. In our study, we are going back to Genesis, back to the beginning. We're going to review the story arc of the entire Bible and the basis and foundation of our faith. That's going to be very exciting. This morning, we are going to review the bidding by starting on an inductive review. And Laura, Julianne, and Lynn are going to do that. So y'all pay attention because this is going to be audience participation. Okay? Come on, Laura. That's okay.
I didn't know what the cue was.
Sorry, that was the cue.
We should have reviewed that, shouldn't we?
I know. I didn't review the bidding. The good news is God brings order out of chaos. Here's the clicker.
It says that in these first few verses.
I know.
That
I'm
was a great
so
transition.
Excited.
All right. Some of us have been doing inductive Bible study all summer long, and the other 99.9% of us have not. So we are going to do a very quick review of inductive Bible study. That is the way that we will study Genesis, and it is the way that you can study any book of the Bible. So to run through these things very quickly, to some of you it will be quite familiar. Before you read, you want to find a quiet place to read and study. We can all identify that teenagers who are on their iPods and phones and texting and listening to music are not getting anything significant done. And ladies, neither are we if we are trying to study while we are also mentally or physically trying to do 3 or 4 or 50 other things. Find a quiet place. It's always a good idea to pray before you study your Bible. Pray first. Almost all of our lessons will have chunks of scripture that are about 20 verses. Some of them are a little bit longer, but you want to have a manageable amount of study or a manageable amount of scripture to study. So if it's longer than that and you want to chunk it up a little bit, you're welcome to do that. 10 to 20 verses is about what you want to study at a time. And then this is something that Jan encourages us to do each and every year, but I would just bet almost none of us do. And that is to read the scripture slowly and out loud. Now, why do we do this? Part of it is the way that we are wired to learn, that the word is different when you hear it than when you see it. Part of it is that your attention is more focused when you are reading and listening. And part of it is that the Bible comes to us from an oral tradition. It was made to be read, made to be heard. So that is the natural way to study the Bible. Read it out loud, more than once if necessary. And, you know, I will say the reading it out loud and the finding a quiet place to study sort of go hand in hand because, well, we're accustomed to people walking down the sidewalk and talking to themselves while they're on devices. You know, if you walk along reading the Bible out loud, that's people will notice you. And then finally, pray before you study. So we are going to talk a little bit about what to do after you do that. Everybody probably picked up the new bookmark, the inductive study guide. If you don't have it, don't sweat it. You will get it later. If you download your lesson, you will have a sheet that looks like this, where there are three columns. And that's a very useful tool. But the fact that you don't have it doesn't mean you can't do inductive study. All you need is the scripture. You can have that in an actual old-fashioned printed Bible, or you can have it on your mobile device in one of those handy-dandy Bibles that goes everywhere with you. As long as you have the scripture, you can do this study. The first... Okay. Where is the slide going? So would you advance the slide back there? Sorry. The first column, or the first question that we want to answer is, we want to do the observation column. What does the text say? In our bookmark this year, it says, what does God say? What did God say? Because the Bible is God revealing himself to us through Scripture. So it's the same question. What does the text say? What does God say? So after you have read, you want to absorb. Use your senses to absorb and ask, what senses are engaged here? What do I hear? What do I feel? What do I smell? Where does this text put me? And that orients you to what you should be seeing. And then ask the reporter questions. Now, I come from a journalism background, so I love the reporter questions. That's really, to me, the way to delve into text. Who, what, when, where, how, and, of course, why. What do you see? What comes to the fore? What stands out to you? What do you not see? What's missing? These are all questions to get you into the text. One more. Well, let's go back to that. Yeah, go back. Sorry about that. I thought there was another slide. So, thank you. I now have the text of the slide that you can't see, but I have it in front of me. So, thank you, Lynn. Genesis is a narrative. For those of us who are teachers or who have been students, you know that when you study a narrative text, you do that by placing yourself in it. You relate to characters, situations, events, and that's part of what gives it meaning to you. So as we read Genesis and as you ask yourself the observation questions, ask, who do I relate to? What event do I relate to? What situation is familiar to me? And those will all be springboards for what has the most meaning, for what observations will come through to you. At the end of every section of Scripture in our inductive guide, there's a place for a summary. Now, the summary should not be you trying to capture every detail of what it says in the Scripture. It should be 10 words or less of the Scripture. Why would you do this? Well, one is because it's an intellectual exercise that gives you the opportunity to really condense what matters most. And part of it is so that you can quickly go back as the year proceeds and see what was the main point of this section of Scripture. So it's both an aid to you today and an aid to you as time goes by to be able to go back. Now, we are actually going to do audience participation, inductive study of the first 8 verses. And this is giving you a head start on the study for next week. So now let's go to that next slide. And what was the very first thing we should do? We cannot find a quiet place to study. So mark that one off. So now what is the very first thing we should do before we begin our inductive study? Pray. Let me pray. Come, Holy Spirit, into this room, into our hearts, and bring this text alive. Lord, I just pray that everything else will be shut out, that we will be totally focused on these few verses of Genesis, and that each one of us will hear exactly what you have for us in this word today. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Now let me read this slowly and out loud while you listen. You may read along or you may just listen, whatever you prefer. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be a vault between the waters to separate water from water." So God made the vault and separated the water under the vault from the water above it. And it was so. God called the vault sky. And there was evening and there was morning, the second day. Now, what we're going to do is popcorn some answers to these observation questions. So let's talk about the journalism questions, the reporter questions. Who, what, when, where, why, how. Who is this scripture about? God. Very good. Very good. What is going on? Creation. Yes. When? In the beginning. You guys have got the hang of this. Look at this. Where? Earth? The heavens? Yes. How? God speaks. We're not into the mechanics here, are we? We're into God speaks. And why? Because he wanted it. Because he wanted it. What stands out to you in this passage? The Spirit of God was hovering. God was there before the beginning. What else? God is in charge. Anything else? God spoke and it happened. A systematic beginning. And Katrina? The contrast, light and dark, sky above, sky below. Yes, God is dividing, creating order. Lots of action words. anything. Oh, God's repeated words and praises. Yes. Anything else? How about something that you don't see? Jesus. We don't see Jesus called by name. I'm sorry, again. The devil. We don't see the devil. Man. We don't see man. That's right. So those are all observations of things we do and don't see. People have talked about repeated words. Always good when you're analyzing text to look for those. Looking for the actions, looking for the actors. So that's a brief introduction to how you begin your study and how you do your observation. And you guys are off to a running start for the first 8 verses. So Julianne is going to take us on into interpretation.
Hi, everybody. So we move on to the interpretation section. The purpose of this section, or the aim of this section, is to bring out the meaning of the passage for the people to whom it was written and for us today. What does God mean by telling this story? And on your card here, it says, what did God mean? At the top of your text in your inductive study, it asks the question that is phrased here. What does the text mean to all Christians? Well, in Scripture, there is a lot more than meets the eye. Several weeks ago, there was a meteor shower, a really big meteor shower. And I was walking my dogs, and I went outside, and I was looking at the sky and looking at the stars, and they were beautiful. I was in the middle of Austin, and I wanted so badly to see just one of the meteors go by, but my timing was a little bit off. But it brought me back to a place when I was a teenager, and I was in northern Wisconsin, in the middle of nowhere, laying on a field on my back, watching my very first meteor shower. And let me tell you, it was spectacular. And I just remember the scene. It was magnificent. The number of stars were breathtaking. The way the meteors flew across the sky was spectacular. And Scripture is just like that. When we get away, we are able to see so much more. So in this section during interpretation, take the time to meditate on the Scripture, and don't rush it, okay? And remember, it is still sometimes easy to make mistakes when we're trying to interpret Scripture. We're not pastors, most of us, and it's dark in here. Let there be dark, let there be light. Sorry. Let there be light. Anyway, sorry. Okay, I got distracted. So sometimes it's easy to make some mistakes, and it's easy to misunderstand some things in this part while you're trying to make interpretations. So remain humble and allow the experience to happen and allow yourself to meditate on God's Word. Let the Scripture during this section interpret Scripture. So if you come up with some crazy idea during your interpretation time, allow the Scripture to interpret the Scripture. And what do I mean by that? That means that if my interpretation is so unique that it's not supported anywhere in other passages, maybe I'm headed down the wrong path. So just allow yourself to be humble and allow yourself time to meditate on the Word. So to help you guide, or to guide you with your interpretations, there are just some questions that you can ask yourself. You've just completed the observation section, and so you have all these observations that you've written down in that first column. From those observations, it's time to then draw conclusions based on those observations. You ask yourself, what are the main teachings? What are there universal principles, themes, truths, or promises that you see in the text? The observations that you've already made help you begin that interpretation process. Second, you can ask yourself, what does this text teach me about God? this is the place to start writing that down in this section. What are attributes of God's character, and what was revealed to us in this text? Next, what does the text mean then and now? This is the place to put yourself in the context of the text and ask questions. It's the final thing is to ask questions. This is your opportunity to write down everything you don't understand. And feel free to do that. It is okay to ask the big why questions. God can take it, okay? I give you permission. We all give you permission to wrestle with this story. And this is the place in this time of interpretation to put down all your questions. And I have a feeling that with the text of Genesis, we're going to be asking a lot of questions, and we're going to wrestle with some of the story. And this is the place for that time, is to put down your questions and allow yourself to ask why. I want to leave you with this, is that do remember to be humble and experience and meditate on the word, and don't turn it into an intellectual exercise and force interpretations, but really rather yield to the Spirit right now. Take that time in the field in Wisconsin to get away, to look at the stars and see what Scripture reveals to you. So this is now time for us to practice the interpretation section. So let's flip to the next slide. And so we've already done some observations. We've made those reporter questions. So now let us draw some conclusions based on those observations. That's the easiest place to begin with interpretations. Okay, so he was in the beginning. That's part of his character. It revealed that God was revealed. Part of his character was revealed because he was in the beginning. Anything else? He was involved. God is involved in our lives. Absolutely. There is only one God. Katrina? God is in charge. God is all powerful. See how we're drawing conclusions from the text and observations that we are making and putting them down into our interpretation column. Any others? Are there questions? Are there questions of why? If you do have questions, this is when you write them down. And it's a great thing to bring up in small group time. God is orderly and creative. And I hear a pattern here. In this section, it sounds like the question, the attributes of God's character, is a dominating part of these first eight verses. And sometimes you'll find that you will focus on just maybe one of these questions in the interpretation section. Do not feel pressure to focus on all of the questions. They will come to you and allow yourself that time to meditate. We're going to move on to the next section, which is application.
Good morning. Okay. Application is, I think of as where the rubber meets the road. Before we kind of can look at stuff without putting ourselves personally in that position. When you get to application, this is accountability. This is where we take what we're learning and we apply it in our own life, and we apply it in a measurable way. And that's the tricky part. We like to throw out vague applications, which are not bad, but we can't be held accountable to them. And when I say be held accountable, I really mean like in this amount of time, I'm going to do this or I'm not going to do this. It can be either way. It can be yes or no. So it's the shortest section. I'm sure many of you, if you go back over previous years and you look in your columns, that last column might not have any writing in it, or it might have like a word. That's okay. This is where it's really important to start early in the week on your lesson, because the application doesn't always come right away. Sometimes if you do the first two sections and just think for the next couple of days and pray about what is this application? What am I supposed to be getting from this? It will come to you. Don't give up and don't skip it because this is really, really an important part for us. Okay, so you have to do the observation. Well, I have to do the observation and interpretation first. It's a nice little segue into the applications. And you might get something right away, and you might not. But just be still and listen. This is not comfortable for a lot of people. It's nice to be able to think you're, you know, living your life a certain way and being living a good Christian life without having to look and see how you're doing that. This is where you look and see how you're doing that. This is the measurable part. They need to be personal, very personal, which is tough for us. It needs to apply to me personally when I'm doing the application, not to my husband and what I think he should be doing, not to my next door neighbor. It has to be about me. Make it specific. Because if it's not specific, you're not going to do it. Time sensitive, can you look back and say, oh, I did do that in that week? Or, maybe I didn't do that. Maybe I should look at trying to do that again. And it's generally a change in some pattern that you have, a behavior or a thought. You really need to find someone to be accountable to. In a perfect world, we would be able to do this in our small group. And each week, check in with each other. We know that we're not going to be able to do that. There's just not enough time. But find someone in your small group, or find a family member, or find a neighbor, someone that you trust that you can talk to about these things, and say, okay, Marilyn, I need you to help me this week. This is what I'm going to try and do. Check back with me in a week and ask me if I've done it. Because it's real easy to, I mean, I have great ideas about what I'm going to do all the time. You know, and then I have to go to the grocery store, and then I have to, you know, do the other 8,000 things, and that great idea just slips further and further behind. Okay, are y'all ready? That's where everybody starts to squirm. Let's come up with some applications for this. Okay, to give God glory for what he creates. Now, how are you going to do that? In a measurable, timely way. Prayer. Okay. So how just prayer? That's great. We're getting on the right path here. Okay. Do you, and maybe set a daily prayer time that you can stick to? What else? Do you see how that's measurable? It's wonderful to say, I'm going to praise God for his creation. That's a really good thing. But then how are you going to do that? How are you really going to do that? For me, if I don't make something specific, if I don't say I'm going to get up at X o'clock every morning and I'm going to go into this quiet space and I'm going to open my Bible and I'm going to read a few verses and I'm going to pray and I'm going to spend 15 minutes praising God. If I don't have that, I'm not a structured enough person, but if I have that in my life, I'll do it. If I don't, then I'm just filled with good intentions. Okay, what other applications? That's good. Okay, Marilyn said, God is in complete control of everything, and she is not, and she tries to be. And so, every morning, read Jesus Calling. Well, but it is because you're praying every morning. I mean, so Marilyn's going to pray every morning to remember that God is in control and not her. That's beautiful. Could y'all hear that? Okay. Let me see if I can say it. She wants us to pay attention. God is in complete control, and she wants us to know that he is always first. How are you going to do that specifically? With prayer? You have to listen. So you have... Listen before you make your plan. Take that time to sit down quietly and pray and open your heart and open your ears and listen to what God's plan for you is before you run out and start doing it. Yes? Okay, take time to... So physically go outside into God's creation to be able to see and marvel at the wonder of his creation and be thankful for it. That's great. It puts you right in the moment. Anything else? Applications are going to make you squirm a lot of times. And just don't, my best advice is just don't give up on them. It's like anything else. They're so intimidating in the beginning, but the more you get used to them and the more you come up with them and the more you fail at them and try again, the better you'll become. And then you'll start it just makes life richer. It makes reading the word richer because it turns it onto your daily life. So that's it for applications.
We're going to take...